Hi, and welcome back to the Flying Dogs podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Jo. And we're on episode 19.
19. And that's not even including the bonus episodes, is it?
No, indeed.
So I think we've had two bonus episodes. Two? Is it two?
We have got two, and there's also one still to release.
Oh, there is. Yes. Yeah. So maybe we'll do that as like a lucky number 20. We're lucky number 19 and a half. So, yeah, 19 episodes. Gosh, who'd thought we'd still have rubbish to talk about?
I know, after 19 episodes. Well, maybe we haven't after 18 episodes, but maybe after 19 we'll have nothing left to talk about.
No, we will.
I don't think it'll ever happen.
No, I think we'll just keep talking and then we'll just repeat ourselves. And if anyone's like us, they'll have forgotten what we've actually said. But yeah, so today what we are going to talk about is the things you need to consider when running a flyball team. So setting up a flyball team and the things to consider, particularly I think as captain.
Yes.
But I've been the captain of Conway for the last year and a half-ish,
yeah.
Haven't I?
Yeah.
Whereas voluntold. I won't say I volunteered, but there was from a cast of one.
Yeah,
I was told, Nikki, you're doing it.
I nominate Nikki.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody nominated me, didn't they? Yeah, when we lost our captain after champs. It was either that or the team folded, wasn't it?
Yes, and that wasn't going to happen, was
no.
it? So it was quite an emotional time, wasn't it?
Oh, it was an emotional time.
Yeah.
But I think we've done all right since.
Yeah, I think we're in a good position.
I think we're in a good place. Team are happy. We're still a small team in comparison to...
big teams.
Well, I'm a small person in comparison to that big fella. You know, that world's strongest fella that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
I looked tiny next to him. It was great. But yeah, so it's all about perspective, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And we're a happy team.
Yeah. Yeah. We've literally, this last year, I think I've not had a competition I've not enjoyed.
And, you know, the last day of the competition when we were packing up, you used to be like a bear with a sore head. You'd be like stomping around, putting all your stuff away and just wanting to go. That was...
Did I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you've not done that since.
Since I've been captain?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Doesn't it show you what an effect people have on you?
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, just ignore us, it's fine.
Did you really think that? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had... I did that. But yeah, I used to get to the end of the last day and I'd be like, that's it.
I'm done. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so I've enjoyed being captain, actually.
Good. Yeah. I don't know why you're talking like it's in the past tense, because you're not getting anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere.
It's not a voted position. It's not a committee position.
It's not, is it?
You just keep it forever.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, because we're slightly different in our team, because some teams aren't committee-led, whereas our team, we do actually have a committee, don't we?
We do. We do. We have how many are on the committee? Six?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've got me as captain, which, like you say, isn't a voted on position. Your treasurer.
Liz's chair.
Liz's chair.
Lou's secretary.
Lynn is just the committee officer.
Yeah. Hannah is... What's her official role? Oh. I mean, she does a lot of things, but...
I think it wasn't she meant to be like... Social media.
Oh, fundraiser, that's right.
Yeah, she hasn't done any of that.
No. Get on it, Hannah.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, this last year, we've started the podcast, haven't we? So we've almost got two things to do. So we've got everything to do with the flyball team. Mm-hmm. And then we have, because it's some of the committee members are doing the podcast. And so we're kind of like double hatting, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. And both take work, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Is that Coco Barkin?
That is Coco Barkin.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
Those who didn't know, Nikki has a little tiny curly dog called Coco.
Curly dog.
What is she, poodle?
She's a shit poo.
A shit poo. There you go. She's a poo shit.
A poo shit. Shit poo. Shih Tzu cross toy poodle. So she was Holly's dog. I think Holly was 8 when we got her.
Aww.
And now Holly is 23.
Wow.
And Coco, she is still going strong. Honestly, she's going to outlive everyone.
She was a UKFL member for a short time, wasn't she?
For a very short time, but we never got her measured. So she's down as full height. We used to bring her in as a stooge for PCs,
yeah,
didn't we? But
yeah.
She's tiny. She's a great dog, though.
Aww.
But yeah, she's going to outlive everyone.
I think she will.
Yeah. She's got hardly any teeth, blind in one eye, half deaf.
Did she have that one eye out?
No, never took it out.
Oh, she's still got it.
Yeah, doesn't cause her any pain.
Okay.
But she is blind in it. But I think the other one's going now because she ran into the chair. Stop laughing.
Oh, poor Coco.
I know, she carried on in the hallway. She forgot to turn left and literally ran into the chair. So I think she's going in the other eye.
Oh,
and like
shame.
I say, she's half deaf. And I think she might have dementia. So, she forgets where her dinner is. Even though it's the same place it's been for her entire life.
Oh.
She comes in and she's like, where's my dinner? Where's my dinner? It's the same place. So I have to like take her to it. But she's happy enough. She goes out for a walk every day.
Yeah.
More than happy. And she keeps Kaiser and Harper in
check.
Yeah, definitely. So the things to consider when running a fly ball team or a club is, I think you need to decide whether you want to be, what are you laughing at?
Just laughing at running into the chair. I think this might be one of those days that I wake myself up laughing.
With visions of my little dog running into the chair. Oh, bless her. She didn't half get a fright. That's probably just being more
fun. Put that there.
Yeah, she literally was. But the thing is, I don't know whether it's because she's blind or got dementia, because the chair's always been there.
Oh.
So
shame. Poor Coco.
But yeah, so I think it's deciding what your team is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to be a fun team? Are you going to be a competitive team? Are you going to be a mixture of the two? So are you going to have, because there's people that want to do flyball that have no interest in competing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So do you take those members on to the detriment of the fact that you might not then have space for people who want to join and compete?
Mm-hmm.
You need to decide what way you want to go. Mm. And I think initially our team was a mixture of the two, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Our club was a mixture of the
two. Yeah. Yeah. Because we're social as well, aren't we? So there's like the social side of it as well.
Yeah.
But at the minute, I think our team, people go out and they want to do their best. They want to, you know, be the best they can possibly be. So I think we are competitive. We're not the fastest, but everybody wants the best from their dog, don't they?
Yeah, without a doubt. And we have got into the 16s. We got into the 16s at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And my aim is to get back into the 16s next year.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously we then, you know, we lost a dog to another team,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine. And it's all in very much, there's no hard feelings.
No, and these things happen, don't they?
But and they preferred competing further away, which this other team did.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they then decided to go with them. But that's fine. And then obviously to the tail end of this year, the competitions, we haven't had Lola competing.
That's right.
Because Kerry's had a baby.
Yeah.
And we also lost Rowan,
mm-hmm.
because Anne's poor husband died.
Yeah.
So we lost two of the league dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Which is half of the team. Which is what happened 2 years before as well, or the beginning of the year last year, wasn't it? So we've kind of had to restart twice.
Yes, we have. But we're still competitive. We still came home from the last competition with a first and a second.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, we're still competitive.
Yeah.
It's still good fun.
Yeah, it is.
You know. And yeah, I have a job sometimes trying to convince you, don't I? Because
yes.
I think you get a bit
disheartened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you come in for a comp with the first and with a big smiley face, it's like,
I know.
It kind of puts it in perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, when I say I'm going to declare our time, or not declare our time, but the time that we're putting in. That's Coco making funny. She's rubbing herself on the mat. I can tell. So, but our seed time puts us into a division where we're competitive.
That's right. Yeah.
So we're not down as a 16-second team anymore. So we're still down according to the times that we're actually going to run, which makes us competitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're slightly slower, because you're going to be running against slightly slower teams. That's anyway. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but next
it's
year.
It's all relative, isn't it?
It is. It's all relative. But, I think one of the biggest, jobs I've had of captain is training venues.
Yes. We've gone through a few, haven't we?
Well, before I took over as captain, we'd moved to Dotsfield, hadn't we?
Yeah. So where did you guys start? Were you at Marl Farm? So,
yeah. We started at Marl Farm, which was an indoor riding school, but really dark.
Yeah, it is dark. And I think, I don't know how big it is, but it doesn't seem like full size.
No, it's not. No, it's not a very big school.
No.
We started at Marl Farm, and then we ended up in
Moktra
Village Hall.
Village Hall. In hindsight, should we have stayed there? Because we've gone back now to somewhere very similar, haven't we?
We have.
In size.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder whether we should have stayed.
Potentially, because it was cheap as well. But we couldn't. It wasn't wide enough to run two lanes. That was the problem. I think that was the issue there. So we then moved from there to then run at
Little Pedder, wasn't it? Little Pedder Play Paddocks.
Yes.
Prestatyn.
Prestatyn, yeah. And that was nice until the campsite next door.
Yeah.
Didn't like us barking at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. So can't blame them. And then we moved to Conway. We moved back to Conway. So Conway, we're actually training out of Conway. A friend of mine saw that I put a thing on social media asking if anyone knew of a field. And she said, why don't you ask me? You know I've got fields. And I was like, well, I didn't really want to put you in an awkward position. So anyway, we've been training there for 2 years now, haven't we?
We have.
Which is great until it rains.
Yeah. And then once it starts. Because we kind of got away with it at Little Pedow. We trained there all winter.
Yeah.
And because it was very flat. The grass was a bit longer. We left it a bit longer in the winter.
Yeah.
And we just didn't do box work. So we could practice everything else, just not the box turns.
Yeah. And there was the parking.
And there was parking, yeah.
It was hard standing for the parking, which is what we didn't have at the other field.
So you had to park on the field, which
you can't do.
No. Yeah. And I think there's more cars.
Yeah.
I don't think we'd have got us all in at Little Pedow.
No, I think we're bigger now, aren't we? But now we have literally just secured a new training venue.
We have.
Sit, Stay, Play in Rill, which is an indoor dog exercise area. The girl who runs it seems super nice.
Yeah.
And we have just bought, which is something we never thought we would ever be in a position to do, we have just bought our first roll of
Tuffspun.
Yay. How expensive is Tuffspun?
Yeah, very expensive. Have you worked out how long is it?
60 feet.
Have you worked out how much it is per foot?
Well, if you say it's 580 quid the roll.
But that's with delivery, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're still paying it, aren't we? So
let's say
600 quid. So it's 10 quid. Hang on.
I don't do maths.
10 quid a foot. Isn't it? So if it's 600 quid, let's just round it up to 600 quid. 60 foot, it's £10 a foot.
Right. Doesn't sound too bad when you say it like that, does it?
The venues, there's so many different things to consider, isn't there? Are you going to go indoor? Are you going to go outdoor? Are you going to train outdoor over the summer, indoor over the winter?
Mm-hmm.
What type of team do you want to run? Some teams are purely indoor.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams are purely outdoor. Did you mention on the last podcast, I can't remember, about the new league?
We didn't.
Okay.
It was very, very newly announced, literally the day we recorded, I think.
So this is probably a good time to bring that in, isn't it, Joe? Do you want to explain to our flying doggers?
Yeah, I knew it would take off. Yeah, so the new league have been set up by four southern teams. It's called UFO, United Flyball Outdoor.
I'm sure they're southern, are they?
I think so. I
thought they were more...
I think, don't get me wrong, we will check this. Well, yeah, but that's kind of not northern, is it?
It's not southern.
Yeah, but it's more southern than it is northern. This is a bit like northwest Wales and...
East Anglia.
And they've so they are just outdoor. I think it's a kind of kickback to the leagues not offering outdoor, isn't it? And outdoor competitions in general are less. But then, I mean, we've run at lots of outdoor competitions. We've had one where the lanes have had to be moved several times. That happened at Champs. It's happened at Livewise at Frodsham. We were at Darley Moor when they had to pull the day because obviously, you know, you've all spent an awful lot of money for these entries. You've got your dogs ready, you've trained for it, and then you get to the comp and it's cancelled. Whereas indoor, that isn't going to happen because you know what surface you run on. So I like supporting outdoor racing, but I get why people want to run indoor because
Luke Guys pulled on that day as well, didn't they?
Katie pulled on that day as well. There was loads of teams.
No, as in the Blue Skies competition at Cheshire Polo Club was pulled on.
Okay. That was outdoor as well.
But yeah, there were a lot of teams didn't want to run on the ground as it was for the safety of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get.
Mm.
I definitely get. Yeah. And I think we're going to have to consider, because I think it's potentially easier to train outdoors, compete indoors. If you train outdoors...
Yeah, indoor racing becomes easier.
To a degree.
Yeah.
But if you solely train indoors...
And then you try and compete outdoors.
I think it's a bigger jump.
Yeah.
So which is why I think the likes of Katie, Carry-Ons, at Darley Moor said, absolutely no way am I letting my dogs run on this ground. Because
they train indoors. Yeah.
So, but equally, you then get a team like Roadrunners train outdoors.
They do. Yeah.
And their fastest time they've ever had
is outdoors. Yeah.
So, I wouldn't necessarily say, I think on the whole, indoors is faster because the ground is much more consistent.
Yeah.
The dogs have got more purchase on the ground. Mm-hmm. Are not going to be sliding into the box. The ground is the same at the beginning of the day as it is at the end of the day. The dogs know what they're running on.
Yeah.
And
every competition you go to is exactly the same.
Yeah.
There's no kind of, there's no differences in the round.
Yeah. So I think that's something, if we're going to be moving to becoming an indoor training team.
Yes.
How am I going to prepare the dogs to run outdoors?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the considerations for me as a trainer, as the captain and the trainer of the dogs. What do I do in terms of preparing the dogs
for outdoor racing? Yeah.
Because there's already so many things I need to consider as the trainer as to who's going into the competition to start with. What balls, what happens when, like you were saying, we come across a problem.
Yeah. Because obviously we don't, we wouldn't put a chaser in open racing. You've got to be so careful, haven't you, with which dogs are actually ready for racing, not putting them in too soon.
I think I'm maybe a little more hard over on that than some other teams. Because you do see other teams putting dogs in.
Too soon.
Yeah. But equally, at what point do you wait?
Yeah.
Because, and I think Cheryl alluded to this when we interviewed Cheryl right at the beginning, after she judged at Crufts, and it's one of her bugbears is dogs that aren't ready for racing.
Yeah, putting them in too soon.
Because
potentially they have a long career ahead of them, but you can really scupper them, can't you, in those, those first
Not even scuppering them.
No, skipping everybody else. Yeah.
So it's the effect, which is why I don't race Kaiser because I can't trust him.
Mm.
And no matter what I did, he wanted to go into the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
And say hi. And although he's not an unfriendly dog, he's a big dog. he's an intimidating dog. Mm. I'm not risking him running over into the lane.
No.
So that's why I don't race him anymore.
Mm.
And if I did, it was Little League or Foundation when I've got the security
the netting.
Of that netting. Yeah. But I think we're going to struggle with Disney.
Yeah, yeah. She's, I said it before, I mean, the Border Collies or the Border Collie mixes have got such focus. You could have a chicken dinner. We were saying to Lou last time, you could have a chicken dinner on the side and Aura Harper would run straight past it to get the ball to bring it back because they know that's their job.
Yeah.
Whereas Honey, Disney, they'd be in the dinner. That you know, it's horses for courses, isn't it? It's that focus needs to be there.
But it's not. So with Honey, she's going to be drawn to food, but she's not actually interested in any of the dogs, which is why she's okay to go into league.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, because you do get seasoned little league dogs, seasoned foundation dogs that never make
out of
foundation. Because there's just too much of a risk.
Mm.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? But assessing the dogs.
Yeah.
As a captain and a trainer is difficult.
Yeah, and sticking to that because obviously owners may want to push
and
dogs
they do.
That yeah
they
yeah
absolutely do.
So you've got to have your reasons why. No, that it's a definite no.
Especially in training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Nikki, I want my dog to be doing X, Y, and Z. Mm. Well, you're not doing it.
No.
And with puppies, I know that I'm a little bit hard over on puppies and hard over on puppies and young dogs.
Yeah.
I don't like them going over jumps until they're one.
Yeah.
I don't put them on the box until they're one. They can go on the chute, but not the box.
And there's plenty to be practicing.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think actually it was Katie that instilled that in me because she said, "You don't need to put your dog over jumps to know it's going to go over a jump. You just need to develop that drive.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as your dog's got that drive to come back to you, they won't mind the jump.
That's right. Yeah,
and they'll just go over the jumps. So you don't need, and you can simulate it by slats on the floor.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
just to get them to think where their feet are.
Yeah. So you can still simulate the jumps, but don't put them on the box because, like you said, they've got long lives. They've got long tribal lives ahead of them. And every dog's different.
Mm.
Bigger dogs take longer to develop.
Mm.
So that's why I have that cut off 12 months. You're not going on the box.
Yeah.
Some trainers do, and it works, and that's absolutely filly boots, but that's just a rule that I have.
Yeah.
It works for other trainers to put them on earlier, and if that works for them, brilliant. But I don't like it for me. For my dogs, it's just.
And we've got to be us, haven't we?
Yeah. Definitely. But like you say, it's that handler that's pushing.
Yeah, because they see other teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting dogs in that, you know, maybe aren't ready. And why can't my dog do that?
Yeah.
But
how many times you see a dog going into racing too early and then having to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you wait.
Yeah. Get it right. Yeah.
But that's not to say we get it right all the time.
No.
There are times where we get it wrong. It's a hard one, isn't it? But I think training the dogs is the easy part. It's training the handlers.
It's lovely when a handler gets a second dog and starts again with that second dog because they know so much more than when they did because that first dog's taught them.
Yeah.
And then you do it better, don't you, the second time.
Yeah.
Because we're on our second dogs, aren't we now?
Yeah.
Rocky got his turn in the end, but Aura's had it from the beginning.
She's never not had it.
And
I struggle with Harper and her turn, so I know my next dog, third dog.
Yeah. That turn's going to be bob on.
It is. Yeah. It's not doing anything until it's turning.
Mm.
Yeah. It's so many things to consider. Mm.
More at the minute because obviously we've got trial sessions coming up. We've got new starter course coming up.
Yeah.
So your head must be full of risk and, you know, training plans.
Yeah. It is. Have you noticed how many messages I'm putting up with update?
Update.
This one's coming in this day. This one's coming in this day. Yeah. And I'm looking to see because they've told me what their dogs are like. Mm. And so I'm like, well, I can invite you to the taster day, and I can invite you to that taster day. So we're trying to increase our numbers, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And now we've got this permanent indoor training venue. I think we've got the capacity and the capability to be able to increase our numbers, develop ourselves as a club, and start just becoming a little bit more substantial.
Yeah, yeah. So it's sit, stay, play in real, isn't it?
Yes.
So Harley does do socialisation classes, puppy classes. So if anybody's wanting to go and lives in the area, just get yourself down to sit, stay, play. I imagine you can book online.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
There's a booking portal.
Yeah. She's got a coffee machine. She's got sofas, toilet.
A working toilet.
A working toilet.
A working toilet. I'm going to save all my wheeze up, and I'm doing it. Talking of wheeze.
Oh, no. Again.
Guess what?
You haven't.
No, look. That.
What? You? Oh, yeah. Perifit.
Guess what we've been sent.
That's Nikki's job this week.
It's my job. So, passes it. What does it say? So, we have been sent Perifit Care Plus, a Kegel exerciser with an app. So, if any of you have listened to our episode...
Flappy Birds.
Yes. Perifit have listened to that episode and have sent us a Kegel exerciser that I am to
review
and review on the podcast. So the slogan is confidence from the inside out. Anyway, so the next episode.
Give it a wipe and pass it on.
We're not all trial and error. Yes, because that was one of the things. I said, they're sending us one. I mean, for us to trial. And it was like, oh, we can't all trial it. So, numerous games. Have fun doing Kegel and track your progress with the app dashboard. Compatible with apps, Apple App Store, and you can do it in Google Play. So, yes. There's a game there, collecting diamonds. So we're going to be reviewing it on the next podcast. So that's something to all whet to your appetite. Yeah.
Well, you're going to enjoy that, aren't you?
I'm totally going to enjoy it, honestly. But do you know what, though? It's got so many great reviews, and I will, you know me, I will give a fully honest review.
You will?
I will give a fully honest review. And so if you see me next year at a competition, ask me how the incontinence is.
Yeah, hopefully you just won't have it anymore.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if it cures me?
Well, if it does, we'll all be buying one.
Well, yeah. Borrow it.
Kind of like a library.
Sign it out. You've got the Perifit Care Plus. Yeah, so something to get you all excited about for the next episode. Anyway, so... getting back to the seriousness of I always drag it down, don't I?
It was a toilet, wasn't it?
It was a toilet, yeah. So I can't believe we're going to have a fully working toilet.
I know.
Because that's the other thing you've got to consider. Your training venue, if you're going to be inviting people there, you need to be able to have the facilities to make sure they're okay.
And we've had nothing, have we?
No.
A field.
And we've literally just...
Where's the toilet?
People.
Behind that bush.
Yeah. Yeah, literally behind the bush.
Yeah.
You know, there's not even been any running water at that field that we were at. We always used to have to take our
water.
It was
a stream just in front.
Yeah, but that's not really running water.
It is.
It's a stream. so you've got to look after it. And you've also got to take into consideration, are you going to have young handlers that you're going to develop in your club?
Mm.
Because if you are, you need to make sure you have the appropriate safeguarding.
Mm, absolutely.
So UKFL and BFA have safeguarding officers, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they have safeguarding within the constitution and within the rules. So we've actually put it into ours as well, haven't we?
We have. We have a safeguarding officer who enjoys writing reports.
Louise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So So we've only got one young handler at the moment. Actually, if you could class Hannah, she is a young handler.
Yeah, she is.
Because, yeah, she's running in the young kennel club team.
Mm.
But I think she's all right. She doesn't need looking after, does she?
No, I think it's the under 18, isn't it? Yeah, we do.
To be honest.
She needs safeguarding against herself.
Yeah, and like you say, we need safeguarding from her. Although, Hannah, thank you for editing this. Thank you. So if this is still in, Hannah's okay. But yeah, we've just got one young handler, haven't we?
We have.
But she's been with us quite a while now, hasn't she?
She actually joined before she got a dog.
She did, yeah, because she used to come with me, didn't she?
She did.
She's just so, such a lover of dogs.
Mm.
But we need to make sure that we have rules that cover, because we used to have Alexa, didn't we?
Yes.
Which was what kicked off all the safeguarding, mm-hmm. because we were like, actually, we need to make sure that everything's in place. You know, yeah. we've got a child that is being dropped off and coming camping.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, what safeguarding have we got in place? So it's something really important to consider, because that's the things you're going to go to jail for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Children
and money.
And money.
Mm.
So, you know, you need to make sure that you're not the treasurer or the safeguard.
Or the safeguard officer,
or the safeguard officer. Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's things that are going to get you into trouble.
Yeah, yeah. That's the important stuff, isn't it? The rest really, is really kind of, you know, yeah, immaterial.
But you also need to think about safeguarding against vulnerable adults. It's not just children you need to consider. Vulnerable adults, adults with disabilities. And that's something that we're really keen on promoting is flyballers who have some form of disability, mm-hmm. you need to promote it.
That's right.
Because it needs to be fully inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And as a captain, I have to make sure that there's no discrimination taking mm-hmm. place, and that everybody on the team is getting on. There are some times where people on the team do have fallings out, don't they?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I think January will be the time to start looking at the interviews with the people who do have disabilities,
yes,
in flyball.
That'd be a really good thing, yeah, because we've had a brilliant feedback from everybody. There's so many.
There are lots more than I think we thought there would
ever
be.
We realised. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be. I'm really, really excited about that. Mm. Really excited about getting that and promoting that. And did you know, Sue Matthews is the accessibility officer in UK.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to start talking to her.
Brilliant.
So actually each, you know, the two leagues, well, now there's three leagues in the UK.
There are.
If you consider the fact that we've got UKFL, BFA, and now UFO. I just hope that BFA and UKFL champs still stay outdoor and indoor, because we like both.
I don't think anything will change in that respect. No, no, I don't think so. I think, I think we just need to keep championing outdoor.
Yeah, and I was happy with the outdoor at champs.
I think if more people did indoor at champs, they'd have to limit the numbers, wouldn't they? Because last year they did limit, didn't they? There were less teams there, but
I think they struggle with outdoor level threes.
Mm.
I think that's one of the biggest limiting factors is having an outdoor level three, because there aren't very many level threes within
outdoor sport. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it needs someone to be there all the time.
Yeah.
Because if anything goes wrong,
you
know, that decision needs making, doesn't it?
Yeah. And also the lights are very difficult for outdoors.
Yeah.
Because the sensitivity needs changing.
And that was only changed on about day two, wasn't it? Because someone realised that they were on the wrong sensitivity.
Lucy Grant,
yeah, yeah. Oh, she was good, bless her.
Set up UFO.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember at Frodsham one year, the lights were, they were struggling with the lights. And if there's a bit of wind, and obviously it's not on solid ground, is it? So they said they were going to make like wooden plinths to put them on.
Yeah.
But that never happened. I don't know whether that would help, because then it gives them a level, a level base. It's always an issue, isn't it, outside?
It's always an issue. And I wonder whether the likes of, you know, that the teams in Europe roadrunners, do they have issues with the lights, or do they use different lights that are more suited to adults? It's interesting, isn't
it? Yeah.
Whereas in, depending on it, the lights are extremely expensive. So invariably, I think Cambridge have a couple of sets of lights, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Yeah.
That they loan out. I think Flying Scots have a couple of sets of lights that they loan out. UKFL, so this is UKFL specific. UKFL then loan sets of lights out as well for teams. Oh, that's Kaiser and Harper playing.
Aww.
You can tell. Or they've just dragged Neil out of the lounge.
And now they're eating him.
And now they're eating him limb by limb.
Supervised by Coco.
Yeah. With dementia. So it'd be really interesting actually to do an interview with an event organizer to talk about the considerations, the things that they have to consider when putting on events.
So if you are an event organizer and you want to talk to us, just give us a holler.
Yeah, let us know and we can talk about everything. So one thing I found as a captain is you are never gonna please everybody.
Yep.
So, and it's one of those really awful things, isn't it? So you've got a team of five dogs. And I'm always very, I look at the teams we're racing.
Yeah.
I look at the times that they've, if they've put a declared time in of their seed time. So I look at them. So if we have five dogs, four of which are a bit faster and one which is a bit slower, and I know that we're middle of the division, I look at the teams to say, right, if we're racing the slower team, let's put, we can put
the slower dog in. Yeah.
But sometimes you go in there and you put the slower dog in and you've run the first leg and go, wow, we're never going to have this on time if we keep that slower dog in, right? I need to swap. And it's awful. The feeling, it's awful. Because you see the disappointment on the handler's face when you say, no, we need Aura in.
Yeah.
You need to go, you need to go out. And the disappointment on the handler's face, and it's like, oh gosh, I really wish I didn't have to. We're not going to win this unless.
Yeah, that's so right.
It's all about just strategic racing, isn't it?
And I guess that's what it comes down to. Are we competitive or are we just there for fun?
Yeah.
If you're just there for fun, it's fine, isn't it? But obviously we go there to do our best.
Yeah.
And if we can do our best by swapping a dog.
I know.
At that point, we just need to remember to shout to the box loader.
Oh, yeah. Got to tell Louise last time, didn't
Otherwise you get a very confused look on her face as she tries to swap the ball as the wrong dog's running towards her.
Yeah.
She did well, though.
She did. I can't believe she got it in. You're so rude. I must remember to tell the box loader.
I think you should delegate that. I think if we're changing dogs, one of the teams should be the delegated person to tell the box loader. So it's off your hands.
Yeah, because on the actual day of racing, because I like it as the captain to not run my dog. So it was lovely to let Hannah and Lou, you know, run my dog. And I can just sit back and look at it, because the things you miss when you're in it,
when you're
in racing and you're running your dog, the things that you miss, that you don't miss if you're looking at everything going on. So I really enjoy that, and I find that I can make more decisions.
Yeah.
And be free to be able to talk to the judge and if needs be. I do like that. But then the competition entries, only the captain can put it in.
Yeah.
Captain and one delegated person, I think.
What's your fastest time of putting an entry in?
I think it's 3 seconds, is it?
Blinking Aura.
Yeah. But it depends on how popular that competition is, because it does glitch. So when you go to enter, it takes longer to get in if more people are trying to get into the site, which is why sometimes for the likes of Champs, they say for the first hour
it all counts as
going in at the same time.
Yeah,
because that's where competition entries for UKFL differs from competition entries for BFA.
Mm-hmm.
So UKFA, there we go.
That's a whole new league.
UKFL, it's fastest finger first.
Yeah.
So whoever gets that competition, but that doesn't count if you are on the committee.
A judge in your team?
No. Judging the team does not make a difference. However, it does in BFA. So UKFL, if you are part of obviously the team that are running it, so the event organizer, and if it's a UKFL competition, so like the Winter League or the Champs, if you're on the committee, you automatically get your team. After that, it's literally fastest finger first. Mm-hmm. So whichever team gets in, which means that every single Thursday at 8 o'clock throughout the summer, I need to be available and I need to be somewhere where I have signal. And I need to know I've got enough signal to be able to put that competition entry in, which is quite a lot of pressure.
It is.
Because Thursday I go trampolining. So every single Thursday at 10 to 8, I come off and set everything up and make sure I've got it all ready to go, ready to enter.
Because Hannah's done it once, hasn't she?
Yeah, she did. She did it when I was out in Jamaica.
Didn't she enter three times?
She did, bless her. She did. Yeah, because it can be quite confusing. And I had explained to her, but I don't think I explained well enough because she clearly didn't understand. So obviously that's on me for not explaining it clearly to her. Because I said, what happens is once you enter, you click submit, it goes back to the original page.
Without saying thank you for your entry.
So it goes back and you go, oh, did that go in? I don't know whether that went in yet. And so what you then have to do is then go back to the app, click on it and edit entry. So if you hit edit entry, that's where it gives you your time.
Right.
Your submission. But I had not explained that to her well enough. So it then kicked her out, what she thought. There was nothing to say thank you for your submission. So she entered again. Did it again. She was like, oh no, she actually entered four times. So she did it again and then again. But I'd much rather have four entries than none. So bless her. And she was so stressed.
I know.
It is really stressful.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I look at my watch and I know when I've put an entry in because my heart rate's goes
gone.
Up.
Yeah,
if you look at your heart rate. But it's quite a big responsibility, I think, because as a captain, I decide who's entering what and what teams I'm going to enter.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to make sure that the week before that, I've put something out to the whole team to say, this is the competition.
Yeah.
What do you want? Are you available? Which days are you available? How many nights do you want to camp, et cetera. Then I have to then make the spreadsheet up to say, right, these people are available. So therefore, I then have to look at the entry to see what's available for them. And then put them in. And that's when, if you've got, seven dogs, that's not enough dogs for two teams.
That's right.
But it's too many dogs for one team.
Yeah.
So do I
put five in one and have two singles, or
if there is a single, or do I hedge my bets and enter two teams and ask for a sink if it's UKFL? It's a really difficult one.
So do you think that UKFL entries would work better if they did it the way BFA do it?
I don't know, because the way BFA do it, the entry opens on a Tuesday, I think at 9 o'clock, and you have a certain number of days to get your entry in. If the event is then oversubscribed, it goes to a ballot. However, you get preferential treatment within that ballot if you are the event organizer. So you're running the event, you get all your teams in, or if you have judges
or committee members.
I don't know about the committee members. Because I don't see how a committee member is going to help the event organizer run the day. A judge would.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And if you've got a judge in your team, which is why it's beneficial in BFA, we don't have any BFA judges in our team.
No.
But yeah, it's beneficial to have a BFA judge in your team.
Mm.
Therefore, you can then enter
mm-hmm.
and get almost to the top of the list, because it goes to a ballot, and then it's just pulled out of a hat as to how many you get. Which is, I find BFA difficult to enter, because in order to get camp, so you will enter the competition.
Yeah.
It's a weekend competition in BFA. So you know that they're running league or open racing and foundation racing over that weekend. However, you don't know which day you're racing. So, but then they say, do you want camping?
Mm.
Well, I do want camping. Well, which nights? Well, I don't know.
That's right.
Because if we're only racing Sunday, I don't want to camp Friday.
Friday, that's right. No, no.
So I do want camping, but until I know what I'm racing, I don't know what nights I want to camp. It's a really hard
one.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And also, if I've got a foundation team entered and an open team entered, I kind of want both of them on the same day.
Yeah.
So that we're all there to help each other out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, some people are more willing to come for an entire day early or stay an entire day late to help the other team. But some team members wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd end up with not enough people if you had them on two separate days.
So if they're on separate days, I might not have enough people. Mm. So the likes of me and you and Hannah and Lou, and possibly Liz as well.
Yeah, we're all going to be there.
We'll be there both days. We'll be there to help both teams. But the other, you know, the foundation team probably wouldn't stay if they weren't racing. So I find BFA a lot more difficult to enter, knowing, because I don't know what day we're actually gonna do, because you can only race one day BFA.
Sorry, we're both sort of yawning.
You can only race one day BFA, whereas UKFL you can race both.
The two, that's right, because they're two individual competitions, aren't they?
Yes, as long as you don't go over the maximum number of legs.
Yeah.
So it's just like little things like that, and taking over as a captain and not having any knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really hard, and you know that there is. I did find out about 6 months into my captaincy that there is a BFA captain's handbook that tells you all life tips and tricks.
Oh, useful.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been nice to know. But as a team captain as well, your responsibilities as a team captain, you know, if one of your team does something at a competition, you get told about it.
Mm.
You're
responsible, aren't you, for?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're responsible for, you know, everybody's responsible as an adult for looking after themselves and for their own behaviour. But as a team captain, you're responsible for making sure your team behave correctly, act correctly in the ring, etc. And, you know, also it's your responsibility to make sure your team are ring party
trained. Competent. That's it. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So we can't say trained now, because UKFL have removed temporarily the ring party qualification criteria in order to ring party. For anyone who's not fully aware, BFA, there's no qualification that you need. Every now and again, they'll hold seminars, won't they, to talk about ring party training. But UKFL have a ring party exam, which I believe was brought in because of COVID. That was when it was brought in.
Okay.
So not
just something to do while people were off.
Well, I think they used to have seminars where people would go.
Ah, right, okay.
And learn. So when COVID happened, they said, right, okay, well, let's introduce the ring party.
An online thing.
Online thing where people can still do it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it works to a degree, and everyone that's been listening to our podcast for the last 18 episodes knows that we go through the UKFL ring party training questions and the actual exam questions. However, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that it's not fit for purpose in the nicest possible way. Not fit for purpose. It could be better.
Mm.
It could be better in preparing people for ring party.
Mm.
And people were not doing the ring party qualification, turning up to a competition and using that as a reason to not sit on ring party, which is which is good because we've talked about it before. People shouldn't be sitting on ring party if they're not competent.
Yeah, yeah.
However, we've got to get over this somehow.
The only way to get competent is to sit with somebody who is competent.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe a mentor type thing is what's needed. Yeah. Ring party and, mentoring.
And that's one of the things that they are looking at. The UKFL board are planning to replace it with something.
Mm.
It's just for the time being that the ring party qualification is not a necessity to be able to ring party. So, but before that, it was the captain's responsibility to make sure that the team were ring party qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So and now it's going to be a case of the captain's going to have to make sure that the team are ring party competent, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite lucky with us as a team because we talk about it a lot, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we kind of, after we've ring partied, you come out and you're like, oh, you know, talking about things that have happened in the racing and, you know, what did I do that right or what would you have done or, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Just... And I do like to try and push people out of the comfort zone and put the wheeze online.
She was on lights, wasn't she, the other day? Yeah.
And Adele was online as well, you know, so push people out of their comfort zones because there are times when, you know, Hannah might be judging, I might be going doing something else, you might be doing something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually we need to put people on the line.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, so it's good to have people that know what they're doing.
Yeah,
So
are confident and
So big changes coming in UKFL, I think.
Mm.
In that respect, I don't know whether they're going to go to like a video.
Mm. Do you know what? Just moving back to under 16s on the lights, I totally get it because if there was a controversial decision.
Yeah.
That poor child
doesn't
need that on their shoulders, do they?
We've all been sat on that,
haven't we? Yeah,
and
yeah.
Got it wrong.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the judge doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Which is something that I have to keep reminding myself as a judge when I'm judging and the ring party get it wrong.
Mm.
I know what it's like when, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a time this time I was judging... And somebody shouted at the ring party, one of the teams shouted at the ring party. And, you know, I went to them afterwards and said, it's all right, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And because everyone's there for fun, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So, and we know what it's like. We've both cried on blooming ring party.
Oh, my
goodness,
yeah. Just going back to what, just rethinking that again now with the child on the lights. The only way it would work for practice would be at champs to have, in the kids racing, have a child judge.
That would be good.
Wouldn't it?
That would be so
good. I know. And that'd give the kids a chance then to sit on lights and really, you know, feel what it's like.
Yeah.
But in a really chilled out way and not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but those kids are better than us.
I know they are.
You say chilled out way?
Yeah, yeah.
You're kidding me, aren't you? Honestly.
But they wouldn't be showering at each other, would they? You know, if something went wrong, they'd deal with it.
And they're so good.
Yeah.
How many times have we gone into the ring and one of the bigger teams have got their kids' team racing us?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, great. Cheers. And they absolutely nail it and we walk out the losers. We're like, we've been beaten by 7-year-olds.
And they shout, thanks. Yeah, you're welcome. We let you have it.
Totally did not let them win that, but their crosses were all on point.
Yeah,
yeah. The kids coming through are
oh, incredible.
Aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah,
yeah. I'm really excited for the future of the sport. But yeah, so that's just some of the things I think to consider when running a flyball team and running a club. Just, you know, things to bear in mind that we didn't realise quite what was...
Yeah, what involved. Yeah, because it's very involved, isn't it?
Very involved.
And then you must get, like, random emails. Can you check whatever member...
All the time.
Is, yeah, yeah. All check the their, you know, their membership's running out.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah,
yeah. And also, as a captain, it's your responsibility for paying the membership of the
club. That's right, yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't realise. Yeah. And you can move dogs off your team.
Oh.
Yeah. On the app, the UKFL app, you can literally kick dogs off your team, which is a new thing that's been brought in.
Oh, right, okay.
so watch it.
Best behaviour.
It's just one click away.
And Nora's top as well. She's top of the line because she's A.
Yeah, yeah, she is.
Yeah,
yeah, she is. She will never get moved off. You, on the other hand, you can't remove handlers. You can only remove dogs.
Suggestion there for her.
Yeah. So I think that's a wrap, isn't it? For
I think so.
And then the next one, episode 20.
Well, it'll be before Christmas, won't it? December.
It will, but I want to do, if you're up for this.
Can we sing carols?
No.
Oh.
I think we do it as a threesome. So we have somebody as a quiz master.
Oh.
And the other, and we do a quiz.
That's nice.
Like a Christmas quiz.
Christmas quiz.
A Christmas quiz with, like, you know, Christmas themed questions.
Lovely.
Maybe dog related, maybe not.
Lovely.
Do you not think that'd be good amazing?
Fun, it would. Yeah. Can we have wine?
Do you know what? Yeah, and mince pies.
Oh, yay!
Actually, do you know what I was thinking of doing?
What?
I was thinking of doing like a mulled wine and mince pie evening at mine, because we were going to have the AGM, weren't we?
We were, but we've moved it, haven't we? Because everyone's so busy before Christmas.
We could do a podcast recording instead. Do wine and mince pies.
It'd be carnage.
What?
Because everybody'd be talking over everybody.
I was only writing two.
Oh, that's fine then.
You're like, as long as it's me.
Yeah.
Although actually, yeah, it would be carnage. So maybe we could do the podcast recording on one night, and we could do the thingy on another night. What do you reckon?
I think that's a really good idea. I like the quiz idea.
Do you?
Yeah, Christmas quiz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But someone's going to need to be the quiz master to come up with the questions.
Yeah.
So we can discuss that offline.
Yeah, we will.
Fabulous. Well, thank you for listening, our little flying doggers.
Indeed.
And, we will chat to you again in another couple of weeks. See you at the quiz. Yeah, pub quiz. Bye.
We are thrilled to tell you that in partnership with Notch UK, there is now a Flying Dogs podcast collection featuring notches relating to some of our favourite episodes. Use discount code FLYINGDOGS10 to bag yourself an extra 10% off. Instead of taking a commission, we've decided that a further 10% of any sales will be donated to Paws Off Duty, a local charity supporting retired police dogs in North Wales. Head over to the Notch website now and don't forget to use the discount code FLYINGDOGS10.
If you enjoy this podcast, leave us a review and don't forget to follow or subscribe. That way you get notified every time a new episode drops.
If you want to find out more about Flyball or want to find out where your closest team train, go to www.ukflyball.org.uk for the UK Flyball League, and for British Flyball Association, go to www.flyball.org.uk.